What do we do on Thanksgiving? Eat turkey? We give thanks, right? But the message this morning, I want to draw our attention to giving thanks to God and more than just Thanksgiving. And the title of this message goes something like this, that there's no better time than now to give thanks and praise to God. And you might say, well, that depends a little what's happening. But does our Thanksgiving depend on what's happening? Should it depend on what's happening around us? Like the man that's chicken house burned last night. Should it depend, and I don't know the individual, but should it depend on our circumstances as to if we have thankful hearts or not? Now, I know our circumstances affect us in a way, but I think that we can be still a grateful people, a thankful people, even when things do not go exactly like we think they should in our lifetime. And I want to look this morning at a number of things that we can thank God for from the Scripture, and I'm hoping to finish in time that you have time to give some thanks during the time whoever's moderating after the message, you can give time for that. I want to read just a few verses in the beginning, then we're going to look at some scriptures then that give us reasons for thanksgiving. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And then we have in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I'll turn over to Psalm 100. I want to look at a few things in relation to Thanksgiving, and then we're going to look at a few things through the Bible, reasons to give thanks. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. And so we want to think a little bit about what this psalm is saying here. How do we thank the Lord? How do we praise the Lord? Well, first off, joyful. We praise the Lord because of the joy that's in our hearts and admiration for what he's done for us and thanksgiving for what he's done for us. We have a joyful noise to the Lord. We are praising the Lord joyfully. The second thing is with gladness. Because of what he has done again, we serve the Lord with gladness. We are willing, we are happy to do his will and what he wants for us to do in life. And because we are joyful and because we are glad, a response is singing. He says, we come before the Lord in joyful noise and we come before his presence with singing. And I believe singing from the heart is an expression of thanksgiving to God. Now, singing can be other expressions also, but I'm primarily thinking about praising God and thanking him. And singing is an expression of having a joyful and a glad heart. I also want to look here at why should we praise God from this psalm. Well, first of all, because he is God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And we don't have to wonder, is there someone else that needs our praise and our admiration? No, the Lord, he is God. And when we understand that fact, then it's a reason to praise him and thank him. He is God. And the second reason is that because he made us. And we'll look at that just a little bit later. And the third reason is because we are the sheep of his pasture. and God takes care of his sheep. As a shepherd that's tending sheep is taking care of them, God is taking care of you and I as his sheep. And then we want to look just a little bit at seeing God's hand in everyday life. And we find that in verses 4 and 5. He says, "We enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and being thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. Truth endures to all generations." It's a privilege to come in the presence of God. And we can do that here, but we can also do that at home. When you read your Bible, your personal devotion, and you pray to God and you ask God to direct your way, we come into the very presence of God. And that's a privilege. It's a real privilege that a lot of people don't know anything about. And so it's a reason to thank God that we can come into the presence of God. And we thank and bless his name because he is good, it says. And because of his mercy, because of his truth, and because of his never-failing promises, he endureth to all generations. Now I'm going to look at just a few things. Starting back in Genesis, we find in the beginning of time that God created the heaven and the earth, and he also created everything that was in it. And he made, in verse 25 of Genesis 1, it says, "God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." What he did was good. And then verse 26 changes, "And God said, let us," and I believe he was talking to God. God the Father was talking, and he was talking to God the Son and to the Holy Spirit. He said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." This morning, I think we can be thankful to God that we are made in the image of God. Amen. The animals, you know, the cows are made like cows, and the horses are made like horses, and the donkeys and so on, and the dogs. But we are made in the image of God. And that helps us to understand God in a way. And it helps us to realize that we're special to God. And God should be special to us. We are made in his image and after his likeness. And God did that for a special purpose, because we understand from the scriptures that he wanted to have communion with man. He wanted a relationship with you and I that goes beyond any relationship you can have with any animal or any bird or any fish or any other thing of these things that were made after their kind. And God made man in his image and in his likeness. And it's a reason to be thankful to God for. The next thing I want to notice then is in chapter 2 and verse 7. God formed out of the man out of the dust of ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became somebody that got up and walked, right? It says he became a living soul. A living soul, brethren and sisters, is something to thank the Lord for. Amen. We have a life that will never end. We become a living soul, and we have a connection to God that is far beyond any of the rest of the creation. Far beyond. Man became a living soul. And when you were born, you cut this soul, entered in, and it will never die. The soul will never die. And it will either spend an eternity away from God or with God. And it's a privilege, it's a blessing that we have this morning. It's something to thank the Lord for this morning, that we have a living soul. And God talks to us because of that. And he puts thoughts in our mind as we think of him. And he leads us to understand the scripture. And he helps us to do what's right because we have a soul. And it's going to be somewhere in eternity. And God's plan is for that soul to be with him. And that's where we want to be. I'll hasten on now. Later on in this chapter, verse 18, the Lord God said, "It's not good for man that he should be alone, and I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and he brought them on the Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name of it. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowls of the air and every beast of the field. But I'm going to stop there now. I want to just think about this a little bit. So here comes a giraffe, and Adam says, that's a giraffe. And then his next thing is, that's an elephant, and that's a lion, and that's a donkey, and so on. And here's a cow and a pig and a horse. And here's a cat and a dog. And the next words say, but for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And I'm really glad for that. How would you like to live with a cat for a companion, brethren? How would you like to have a dog for a or a bird that maybe even talks to you, but it's not a companion? God knew better than that. And he said, we need a companion that is different than all the rest of the animals, all the birds, all the things that are in the air, all the things that are in the sea, all the beasts that roam around the earth. God made a help meet for him, and it's something to thank the Lord for. And I hope that you thank the Lord and bless his name for the gift that he has given to you. Amen. For a life's companion. Well, we need to hurry on. I could spend more time on that. Now I'm going to make a big jump over to Matthew. And we have recorded in the Gospels the birth of Jesus Christ. And we know that from Scripture that Jesus was living with God the Father in heaven. He had everything that we could imagine and a whole lot more. But he was willing to leave that and come down on earth and be born as a babe, and live his life here for 33 years, and give his life on the cross for your salvation and mine. It's something to thank the Lord for. And there's no better time than now to thank and praise the Lord. And it doesn't matter, that's not just this morning, that's all the time. And then moving on over to chapter 28 of Matthew, in verse 2 it says, "Behold, there was an earthquake." Well, I should read verse 1, 2. "And the end of Sabbath began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Came Mary Magdalena and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone of the door and sat upon it." There was a resurrection. Jesus Christ did not stay in the tomb. He's a living Savior, and it's something that we have that no other religion has. I've been in Muslim countries, and they worship a dead person. I've been in Buddhist countries that worship an image of stone. I've been in other places where they have other worship. But we as Christians this morning have a living Savior. And it's something to thank and praise the Lord for. It certainly is. Moving on, in chapter 28 of Matthew, at the end of the chapter, Jesus, when he was ready to depart from this earth, he said to his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I see here something to be thankful for is that God's commission to the church, to you and I as individuals, is to share the gospel with those that need it, to share the gospel with not only them, but to have our worship centered around Christ's word. And I'm glad we do that. It's a practice that we have, and we want to maintain that. When it comes to the point where we talk about other things, well, we lost our mission. I've heard one time of a Sunday school class where and thank the Lord it was none of our churches, and hope this never comes, but he stood up, this teacher stood up and said, well, the lesson doesn't apply to us today. What would you like to talk about? No. We have the commission to go and teach all nations, and we get that. We use God's word, and we continue to teach and observe the things that he has commanded, and the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us always. And isn't that a wonderful thing? Something that we can thank the Lord for, that he commissions, he empowers the church, and he has given us the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And turn over to Acts. Find another. And there's many, I'm skipping over many of them, I know. But over in Acts, we find in the first chapter, 15 on through 26, I'm not going to read it, but it's a scripture where the apostles needed to choose someone to take Judas's place. And we have an outline given here in the scripture for continual leadership in the church. You know, we're just men. And we age and we die, and someone else needs to take the place. And I was just thinking back of the men that served the Lord in the positions of the church in my time that were maybe my bishops or ministers or deacons, and the impact that they had on my life. And I thank the Lord for each one. And while they were not all alike, and while they didn't maybe administrate in the exact same way as the others, they each had a position, a place to fill. And I'm glad that God gave us this pattern in the scripture to continue to have leadership for the church, for his people throughout all time. We follow this principle, and we can guarantee leadership for the church, because the church needs it. And it's something to thank and praise the Lord for. And then we come to chapter 2 of Acts, and you know what happened there. I'll just read the first four verses. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire that sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit given to the believer is a privilege that we need to thank God for, and thank him often for that. And as you read your Bible, the Holy Spirit is right there, and he says, see this? And you might say, oh, I never thought of it in that way. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we sit together in a meeting like this, and the Holy Spirit draws our minds together through devotion, through Sunday school, through the message, and so on. And we can worship because we have the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand God's plan for us, and God's purpose, and what he wants us to do in life. And when we err a little bit from that, the Holy Spirit is right there. Come back. And it's a wonderful privilege we have this morning. I don't know what it would be like to try and live a godly life without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so it's something that we need to thank the Lord for. Thank and praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. I want to turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4 now. And this is a future blessing. It's a blessing right now, but it's a future one that we're going to be looking forward to. And I want you to open your Bibles to this. I know I've been going through these pretty fast. And then after you find that, then you find John 14. And just put your finger there, because we're going to look at both them scriptures here in this point. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," and that word means go ahead of or precede, "them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, I told you to turn to John 14, and I want to read the first three verses there. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And verse 4 also, "And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." And we use this scripture in a time when comfort is needed, especially in a time of a death and so on. But I want to point out to you, in verse 3, Jesus made three statements. And I don't know if I shared this here with y'all before or not, but it's worth repeating if I did. He said in statement number 1, "I will come again." It's a certain fact. He said, "I will come again." And statement number 2 out of verse 3 says, "And receive you unto myself." He's going to receive us unto himself. And then the third statement is that where I am, there you may be also. Now turn back to 1 Thessalonians 4, and we'll see these three promises being fulfilled in the time of the rapture. The Lord, verse 16, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Jesus said, "I will come again." And in 1 Thessalonians, he says, "The Lord descend from heaven with a shout." He's coming again, the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. He said, "And receive you unto myself." And we have that here. The dead in Christ are rising. "And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to receive you unto myself," he said. And here it's happening. And then he said, "So that where I am, there you may be also." And 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Yes. Doesn't that thrill your heart? Yes. It does mine. It does mine. And I hope it does yours too. I'm a firm believer that the rapture will happen before long. When, I don't know. But I want to be ready, and I hope you are too. And then finally, he says in verse 18 of that chapter, he says, "Comfort one another with these words." Isn't it a comfort to you to think about the troubles in this world, the things that don't go the way they should, and so on, and that it's a comfort to think one day the Lord's going to come from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and a trumpet of God. And these graves are going to open, and people are going to be going up, and then we will go up also and meet the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord. No more chance of falling away.
Amen.
It's something to thank and praise the Lord for. Well, I need to hurry on. I'm going to turn over now to 2 Peter, verse 21. And these things might not be in order the way they should have been, but I'm just going through this way. And 2 Peter 1 and verse 21 says, "The prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." This Bible that you hold in your hand is not just somebody's idea. This is God-inspired word. He told Peter to write this, he told John to write this, and so on. And it's God's word. He says there that this prophecy came not by the will of man. It was not what Peter thought he should write, but what God told him to write. And that makes it precious. It's God's word to us. And we need to use it. We need to, inhale it every day. We need to eat it. We need to taste and see that the Lord is good. It's something to thank the Lord for this morning, that God gave us his word and he inspired men of old to write, and we have it today. Well, okay. Now I'm ready to go to Revelation, and I'm going to try and make this quick so that you have a little time to respond. But in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and I love these chapters, we have a number of things to thank and praise the Lord for. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 21, there's a new heaven, and there's also a new earth. And verse 2 says there's a new Jerusalem. Did you catch that? A new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. And it would be beneficial to take time and talk about all these things, but I'm just going to say that that's something we need to thank the Lord for, new things that are going to come. And he says in verse 3, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will do what? Dwell with them. Can you imagine God living right here among us? Turn around. Oh, there's God. Oh, yeah, he's over here, too. Yeah, God will live with us. With me? Somebody like me? Somebody like you? Yes. If we're faithful, God will dwell with them. Now, God has always moved among his people in various ways. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, a little different. But here it says that God is going to actually live with us. Can you fathom that? My mind comes to an end. Can you fathom that, Steve?
No.
God living with you? You living with God? Well, we have a foretaste of that already by his Holy Spirit that we talked about, living in our hearts. But we will dwell with God. Something to thank the Lord for. And another thing in verse 4, he says, God's going to wipe away all the tears from your eyes. He's not just going to send some servant. It says God's going to do it. I wonder what that's going to be like. God's going to wipe all the tears away from your eyes. Things that cause you sorrow and grief will not be there anymore. He's going to wipe them all away. There'll be no more tears. And God's done wiping your eyes. And then he said in verse 5, I will make all things new. All things new. We like new things. We like to get new things out of a box and try them. But God's going to make all things new. And it's not just things out of a box. Everything will be new. Well, I need to hurry on here. In verse 23, he says the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it. And there's a special reason why. It says the glory of God shall lighten it. What would that be like? I think just a little bit ago some lights were blinking here. I see some shadows under the benches here. We have fairly good lighting in this building. I can read my Bible when I sit there. But it's not anything like it's going to be in glory. The glory of God is going to lighten it. There's no need of the sun. There's no need of the moon. And the glory of God will lighten it. There won't be any shadows in heaven. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And then down in verse 25, and there's no night there. This time of the year, the night gets a little bit long, the darkness, because it's dark longer than it is light. You know all about that. But in heaven, there's no night there. It's something to thank and praise the Lord for. that when we get up there, there will be no more night. Well, moving on here in verse chapter 22, he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal. Well, I wonder what that's going to be like. A pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal. And it doesn't stop there. In the next verse, he says, the tree of life. Now, you remember where the tree of life is mentioned before. Way back there in Genesis in the garden, there was two trees. There was the tree of life, and there was a tree of knowledge and evil, of good and evil. And when man partook of the tree that was forbidden, of the knowledge of good and evil, God put them out of the garden, lest they take of the tree of life and live forever in their sinful state. But here is the tree of life, and there won't be no sin anymore. There won't be any evil, and we can have right to the tree of life. And it says this tree is a little unusual. Well, it's more than a little. It bear 12 manner of fruits. And there's a few orchards around here. There's peach orchards and apple orchards. And down south you have other things. And you have pecans and you have satsumas and so on. But I've never seen a tree that bears oranges and apples and satsumas and pecans and eight other kinds of fruit yet. And then it goes on and says, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. It goes beyond my imagination. But I know one thing. There's not going to be any lack. There's going to be the tree of life, and we can partake of it, and we can live forever with God. And then in verse 3, and if you think you're getting to heaven and you're just going to goof off, read verse 3. What does it say? It says, his servant shall serve him. I'm looking forward to having a new job. I don't know what it's going to be, but I know it's going to be something that will be enjoyable, and I can serve the Lord. His servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. You know, didn't God tell Moses that you can't see my face? And Moses was called the friend of God. But here, we're going to see his face. That barrier is going to be taken away. He's going to dwell with us. We're going to serve him, and we will see his face. We have something to thank and praise the Lord for. And finally, down in verse 11, where the word still is used a number of times, and I just want to look at the last half of that verse. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And I believe that word still can be translated forever. There's no more chance of sin. There's no more possibility that we will wander away from him if we are righteous and holy, and we will remain that forever. No more temptation. No more thinking, did I do the right thing? That's gone. We will be holy and we will be righteous forever. Something to thank the Lord for and praise the Lord. Well, I have just a couple more yet, and then I want to bring this to a close. And then he says here in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life at a great price. Freely.